This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I am one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing on this dreary New York City day?
Yeah, I'd like to be on my couch watching The Fugitive.
Oh, is that, is it on today? Is that
what? Tom, guess
what? Or it's just a good rainy day movie.
Thanks to the magic of streaming video.
Yeah.
It's on whenever you want. It's on every day.
Wow.
Or no day at all.
Wow, that is pretty crazy to think about. That is a good rainy day movie.
Yeah, wouldn't you love to just be like curled up on the couch, watching a big blanket, and a cup of hot chocolate watching The Fugitive? I didn't kill my wife.
Yeah. Now, are you bringing this up because an arm was found in our hometown this week?
Oh, my God. Man, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, you got the one-armed man on the mind?
Yeah. This is not a funny story.
No.
You're giggling like a little schoolgirl.
Well, you're the one who brought it up.
I brought up
the Fugitive,
the classic
and
1993.
Everybody knew what was going on. Everybody knew what you meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, our hometown, they found some kid found an arm the other day. On his way to
school. We grew up in the suburbs,
school.
And turns out David Lynch was right about the suburbs.
Yeah, and just like when the Long Island serial killer's victims were found, also in our town, once the cops started looking, they started finding more body parts, and now there's two sets of body parts chopped up in our town.
Look,
that they found.
This is what I always say. If you don't want to find body parts, stop looking for
body
parts.
Yeah, stop looking around. Somebody found an arm by accident. You go, oh, well, that's weird, and you leave it. You
Everybody
just leave it alone.
Stay calm. Go about your life. The raccoons will take care of it.
Yeah, you don't want to kick the hornet's nest and see what else is in there. Start going through all the leaves and everything. But yeah, that's the excitement going on back home.
Great.
on this rainy day. Well, the excitement's kind of over. They finished searching everywhere, I think. And they were
excitement,
like,
might be the wrong word, Tom.
I don't mean that. Excitement's not always a good thing. Think about when Jesse Spano was so excited.
Yeah, and she was simultaneously so scared.
Yeah, because she had taken all those caffeine pills. Yeah. So, you know, maybe read a book once in a while, Tim, and learn what movies mean.
So the caffeine pills that Jesse Spano was taking in that episode of Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
They were like, what? Like, that was like 1990. There's probably more, I guess, in the reboot. In the reboot, it's Saved by the Bell. What would they make it? The Panera lemonade?
That the Panera lemonade. I mean,
drinking a lot of.
They probably just make it Adderall.
Yeah.
They probably just,
I think they wanted to do like
something more
speed. I think she was on speed in the original draft.
Well, in the original draft, though, you could just buy, you know, diet pills that were speed in the 90s.
Yeah. Is that Fen-Phen?
Fen-Phen?
I always heard about Fen-Phen in the 90s.
Yeah, I think that was a prescription
one. Like Tom Brokaw being like, and they pulled Fen-Phen from another lawsuit for Fen-Phen.
Yeah, and we didn't learn that if something starts with Fen, it's probably a bad. don't take it. Certainly not recreationally.
Yeah, I was talking to some people about the Adderall shortage.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like people that I associate with, and they're like, oh, don't worry.
People that I
No, but like, it's not like, like
you sound like a mob guy who's trying, you know, some people I associate with.
No, it's not like teenagers looking for a cheap thriller or anything. It's like,
oh, that is
know.
Who I thought you associate with.
No,
teenagers looking for cheap thrills.
I mean, you know, there's something, I don't want to talk about that. No, but, you know, people in, like, their 30s and 40s and being like, oh, yeah, the Adderall shortage. Like, somebody I know knows a guy, like, it's not, like, official channels, but like if you're desperate for Adderall, like I know a guy. It's like, no, you can't.
Yeah,
you can't take
just drug dealing.
You can't take, especially, it's like, oh, it's just Adderall, but it's like, isn't that the lesson of the last couple of years that
that it's probably not just Adderall?
Yeah, I don't know. And it's just like, this is just like, I don't know, not teens looking for cheap thrills or club party drugs.
These are people in their 30s looking for cheap thrills. Yeah, you can go on one of these websites where you can buy stuff direct from China and just buy a pill press and press some pills. Make it look like anything you want. Make it look like Flintstones vitamins.
Tom, I'd like to address the elephant in the room here.
Yeah.
This is the second time we're recording this episode.
I was wondering if we were going to mention that or not.
You know, I don't want to harp on it.
but I'll bring it up within 5 minutes of the start of the episode.
I feel like we gotta get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hear more of a deep dive into what happened, this week's Patreon episode of Books the Podcast. We didn't really talk about the book.
No, it was mostly just me being upset.
Yeah, so we recorded this episode the whole way through about Wendy's.
Yeah.
I thought it went okay. I didn't think it was a great episode.
There was some funny stuff in it, but we were a little all over the place with what we were talking about. You know how sometimes people get upset at me because they'll say, like, oh, there's a Tom episode. By people, I mean mostly you, get upset at me. Like, that's a Tom episode. He's too excited. He's, like, jumping all over the place. There's not a cohesive narrative. I feel like that was the case with Wendy's with both of us. We were both so excited to talk about Wendy's and had so much to say that we couldn't get it out in a very cohesive way.
Exactly. So what happened was you screwed up the recording, and we realized it, like, 2 minutes after we finished recording the episode.
Not even.
Well, that's when you decided, all right, I'm going to have to tell Tim.
Yeah. Well, yeah, probably a good like 60 seconds passed where I was like, am I 100% sure?
Right.
And I was pretty sure pretty quickly because I realized right away, oh, I had the wrong mic armed. Shit. There's no way that is recoverable from. I was recording. A port that didn't have anything in it, and the port that did was not recorded.
Right.
But then, I had to figure out, do I tell them now, or do I tell them later?
Also, because the way that we record these is we get together on Thursday nights, and we do this mainline episode, The Complete Guide to Everything, and we start recording, like, a little too late for a weeknight,
probably,
right?
Yeah.
I think it started with me coming here at like 7:30 and then it like that creep happened and then like it kind of became like 8:15 and now I get here at like almost 9.
Almost 9. We talk for an hour before we talk.
Yeah, and then we do an hour long episode. Mm-hmm. Usually goes over an hour. We're having some beers.
Yeah, we're having fun.
And we finish that episode and then we do the Patreon episode another hour. So so we both had a couple beers. We're both kind of tired. It's Thursday night. So you being like, hey, I, Tom Reynolds, screwed this up, is like, we were both just like, oh, God. It's like, now it's like almost 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
we're drunk.
Yeah,
we have another whole thing to do.
Right. And we're not going to do another thing after that.
Yeah.
That's going to be too much.
Yeah. So anyway, not great. But here we are. And like, maybe it will prove.
Yeah.
Again, we'll wrap this part up. Maybe it'll prove. Maybe we need to do a rough draft
of
every
episode.
We need
to do a rehearsal every time just to get all the
people
nerves
are like,
out.
Yes, preparing for a look. We're old school podcasts. We don't come in.
No,
prepared.
Hell, we don't even do mic checks. Apparently, we would do all that stuff, and even that had kind of gone by the wayside.
Yeah,
like, it's fine.
We've been doing this 15 years. How are we going to screw this up?
Yeah, well, we're going to start screwing things up now? Apparently, yes.
And now, without further ado, the very focused, honed version of The Complete Guide to Everything, Wendy's.
I'd like to start talking, although I'd like to not talk about it as much as we did the last time.
You want to get in with a newsy hook.
I want to get in with a newsy hook still, which is Wendy's is in the news.
Wendy's, hold on.
The hamburger restaurant.
Yeah, it's a fast food place.
Yes. a fast food hamburger restaurant.
Yeah.
I feel like they've really gone after, like, we're hamburgers.
Yeah, they're, well, it says on the sign, old-fashioned hamburgers.
Yeah.
I said hamburgers, but I meant hamburgers.
Well, you can hold them in your
hand. I
got
limbs on the mind, Tom.
Oh, damn. Maybe the police should start widening their scope of who they're looking into.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they're in the news because they've got... Oh, I was going to say, is old-fashioned hamburgers just square hamburgers? Is that what they mean?
No, because I think square was an innovation. I don't think hamburgers were originally square.
No, they stole it from Kewpie Burgers.
Kewpie?
Yeah, which was a...
Look, I just want to say to the listener, this is all new content to me.
Yeah, which was a place that in Kalamazoo, Michigan, that Dave Thomas visited, and he liked it.
Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's.
And then he liked it better later because they would... you know, people would ask why they do that, and he would say, well, we're in the burger business. He didn't like people calling them burgers. That's what it was. And he would say, we're not in the burger business. We're in the hamburger business because we don't cut corners.
Oh.
So then it was like, oh, I get it. They won't even cut the ham off hamburgers, and they won't cut the corners off the burgers.
Can I ask you a question, Tom?
Yeah.
So,
just this one time,
the early 2000s.
I like how we said we were going to get into the news and immediately just started talking about some restaurant Dave Thomas visited like in the 30s or whatever.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I'm not moving the ball up too far from there. So, the early 2000s, the eve of the Iraq War, mm-hmm. France decides they're not going to be part of the coalition of the willing, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And American.
You're either with us or you're against us.
Yeah, and a certain look. I'm not trying to make this political, but some people in America were like, "We're not calling them French fries anymore. We're calling them freedom fries, right? Screw the French." Was there any kind of move in the 40s to be like hamburgers?
Yeah,
Hamburg. What? No, these are going to be freedom burgers or whatever.
Yeah.
So to hear. You know, what? Dave Thomas was a member of the Silent Generation, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
For him to be like, we're calling them hamburgers because we're not cutting corners and I need to pledge my allegiance, right? Like, it's a little suspicious. What side were you on, Dave Thomas?
Yeah, well, I mean, not a great idea to start off the episode besmirching a dead man who, by all accounts, seemed like a pretty decent guy.
Maybe.
But yeah, maybe. Hey, look, Tim's just asking questions.
I didn't like how he got on his high horse about calling hamburgers burgers.
I think it was just a way to get to why they don't cut the corners off the burgers.
Oh, cut corners.
Yeah, don't cut corners.
Then wait, why? That's nothing. Then
because
what does
calling
that have
it a burger is cutting a corner.
Right.
So, like, not saying
he's
hamburger.
gilding the lily there,
yeah,
right? Because
mm-hmm.
like he's saying, like, we don't abbreviate the word because we don't
cut the corners.
Or because we don't cut corners in the metaphorical sense.
Yes.
And then we also don't physically cut the corners.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, you can lose one of those.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, I read that one of the reasons they had square hamburgers, or they have square hamburgers.
You should call them square burgers.
Is that more fit on a grill?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is that true? I mean, I
it's
guess
not that
it
more,
is
it's you
if they're the same
use,
weight.
Well,
yeah.
You use the every
the entire
inch of
surface.
The grill. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because I guess if they cut the corners off them, they'd be smaller burgers.
Right.
So if they were the same
well, not
weight.
Not necessarily, because it could be thickness, right? Like,
well, yeah, but then that adds other. Yeah, I didn't even think about thickness. I was thinking about just that they would be wider if they were the same.
Right.
I don't think they want to make them thicker.
Well, these burgers are in three dimensions, Tom.
Yeah, but they're barely. You know, they're not thick burgers.
But what I'm saying is, if you have an 8-ounce ball of meat,
yes.
Right, and you put it into a circle,
right.
that is 4 inches across, that's going to be thicker than if you squeeze that into a square that's 4 inches across.
Yeah, but I'm saying if it's the same thickness and it's a circle, it's going to have to be wider. if it's the same weight as a square burger.
You and I
burger.
Just said the same thing.
I know. Well, we
this
should.
Is the beauty of math. Where our brains are, you
See,
know.
We're speaking in the language of math, so that's how it works. That's why it's the universal language.
So here, Wendy's is in the news, Tom.
Tim, Wendy's is in the news because they had a boneheaded idea, and they got called out on it. They got caught on it pretty quickly.
Right.
So they had an earnings call,
right?
And earnings
for
calls,
all the muckety mucks.
Earnings calls for people that aren't in on Wall Street, like me and Tim. They
not for the non wolves in the audience,
for the sheep in the audience. Publicly traded companies every quarter have to do an earnings call where they basically level with their investors. Here's how things are going. Here's how much money we took in. Here's how much money we spent. Here's what did as well as we thought. Here's what didn't. But then also, here's looking forward. Here's what we anticipate. And the interesting thing about these is you can't just get on one of these calls and say, like, and guess what? Next quarter, we're going to sell 100 billion hamburgers. Because then when you don't, and it comes out that you just said that you didn't have any intentions of doing that.
Well, you know, I'm sure they have intentions of selling as many burgers as they
can. I'm saying if they said that with just no real...
If you're setting expectations that you then don't meet, then it's going to have a very... And I, M-E-E-T, Tom, I know you love burger puns. But if you set expectations that you don't meet the next quarter, the market will respond to be like, well, you said you were going to do all this.
So now
stuff.
We just don't trust anything you say. And you can get in trouble with like the SEC if you were trying to just drive the stock price. So they have to be fairly honest. I mean, they can spin things the way they want.
Yeah.
But they have to be fairly honest.
So they talk about their plans to make more money in the future because that's what investors want to see.
Right. But also, interestingly, they talk about their plans to cut costs. Costs, which are not things.
Well, that makes more money when you cut costs.
Yeah, but
how to increase profits.
Yeah, but you know they don't air Wendy's commercials like we're getting rid of forks. we estimate this will earn an extra tenth of a cent on every share by all the money we're.
Well, why would
save.
They put that in a commercial?
Exactly, it'd be foolish to Tim. Yeah. If they suggested it on earnings call, they might get a shareholder pipe up and go, hey, wait a minute. I don't know if
I'm no marketing genius here,
right.
But...
So they will say things that are not just pure marketing.
Right.
And what happened in this, according to National...
Why did we talk for 5 minutes just to say, like, this is an earnings call, so they're talking about how they plan
to
increase profits?
A lot of people listen to this podcast to learn how the stock market works.
From two guys, like... I think everybody has a fair grasp on the companies want to tell investors
now,
that how they're going to make more money.
And now they have an even better grasp.
Yeah, that's true.
So according to National Restaurant News, which we should subscribe to.
Yeah, I think I got on this quick serve restaurant mailing list like 10 years ago that I can't get off of.
Well, you consider yourself lucky. Beginning in 2025, that is from Wendy's, we will begin testing more enhanced features like dynamic pricing and day part offerings, along with AI-enabled menu changes and suggestive selling based on factors such as weather.
Right. First of all, they got AI in there, and every company
AI,
has to say AI, otherwise an investor will be like, what about AI? Shouldn't that revolutionize every single aspect of every single business in America and every part
shouldn't
of our
Shouldn't you be
life?
Able to 10x your business next year with AI?
And so they're like, yeah, we'll do that.
We'll do AI. Well, and the funny thing is that it seems like really what they wanted to tout was that they are upgrading... I guess maybe all their restaurants to digital ordering boards, which surprisingly, I guess, was not the case already.
Which, unsurprisingly, I'm against.
Yeah, so I kind of get the impression that they were like, "Well, shit, we're not going to be able. We can't just be like, oh, you know, those screens every other restaurant's had for like a decade now. We're going to get those."
Yeah.
So they had to be like, "Oh, we waited until they were AI enabled." Yeah.
Don't you wish everything was still like you had to slide in the little plastic numbers on the little tracks with the backlit plastic signs?
Well, but I'll tell you what, Tim, if you had that, it's much harder to do dynamic pricing.
Dynamic pricing, Tom, what's that?
Dynamic pricing, people have taken to be a euphemism for surge pricing,
right,
popularized by Uber, which people got, people understood, people didn't like it, but people understood with Uber, okay, if 100 people want a cab and there's only 50 cabs, well, how do you fix that? Well, you do that by saying, all right, the cabs are more expensive, so that some people will go, all right, forget it, I don't want a cab. And the people that are like, I'll pay any price to take a cab, they'll pay the cab.
Well, that's what's called, Tom, price gouging.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. If you have a limited supply and people need it. Look,
but
the charitable reading of that was because Uber has this thing where they employ a bunch of freelancers. They don't have any employees or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was like that also incentivizes more drivers to come.
Yeah.
So you have more than 50 cabs. Then 100 cab drivers will come to serve all of those people, and then everybody's happy.
Right.
And they pass the surge pricing on to the driver. At some point, they stop doing that, I think.
I'm sure they at least like change the cut of how that works. But that, yeah, people never, I mean, nobody, you never heard somebody open up their Uber app and go, oh, great, there's surge going on right now, I have to pay more.
Right.
But people at least got like, well, shit, okay, yeah, it's New Year's Eve, it's 1 a.m. and it's raining. What did I expect?
Right.
Blame
the victim, Tom.
Right. Well, and instead of, you know, luck of the draw of getting a cab, it turned into, well, who's got money? Who's got the most money?
Who's got the scratch?
But now this, the dynamic pricing, people are even less into, because it seems as though the only real metrics Wendy's would be going by is how badly do people want this. Now, they have since come out and said, to clarify, Wendy's will not implement surge pricing, which is the practice of raising prices when demand is highest. We didn't use that phrase.
They would.
Nor did we plan to implement that practice. Let me tell you what I think Wendy's plan with this was.
Oh, you got inside info?
No, I have no inside info.
Yeah. But, did you hide in the closet during a meeting like Jay Leno?
But I like to think about fast food business a lot. What I imagine is that they foresaw we'll be able to change the prices of things by like tens of cents throughout the day. It will be more or less imperceivable. But yeah, when things are slow, you know, a value meal will be $8.50 or no, that's like too cheap nowadays. I don't know, it'll be $14.
Man, look at George Bush not knowing, what is that thing? It's a barcode scanner. They've been here since 1966.
I mean, I haven't been to a Wendy's in a long time, but I keep hearing about how fast food prices are way up nowadays.
Yeah.
And that people, and that's
it's
why.
Because nobody wants to work, Tom.
Exactly. It's because nobody wants to work. And it's because Joe Brandon decided everybody has to be paid $100 an hour. No, I've heard a lot about fast food prices going up, that it's no longer like and I think I've heard this from earnings calls where other restaurants have said like, yeah, we're really competing with people cooking at home now. And that sucks. That's not where we want to be, because that's going to be cheaper and better.
Yeah.
I think you heard like the president or whatever.
The CEO of Kellogg's telling everybody to eat cereal for dinner.
Well, he wasn't, he was on, you know, he didn't expect that it would reach the mainstream. He was on like
CNBC, yeah.
You know, talking about their earnings probably and saying like, we feel great because, you know, we think a lot more people are going to look into having cereal for dinner. It's a great option. You know, we're going to be marketing that idea.
He said because they can't afford real food for dinner.
Yeah, they can't afford anything else for dinner, but they can afford cereal. Even expensive cereal still somewhat inexpensive. And, you know, why have a nutritious dinner when you could just have a bowl of Frosted Flakes for dinner?
Right.
Frosted
Flakes do give you the energy you need to be a soccer star on your Pee Wee soccer team, though.
I got some Frosted Flakes this week because they were on sale.
Because they were great.
Yeah. Cinnamon toast, French toast Frosted Flakes.
Cinnamon French toast?
Yeah.
What the hell's going
on? And they're pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Not bad. They had a few different, you know, like flavors, new flavors. It's like, I'll give this one a whirl. That sounds like
you love new flavors.
I love
of stuff.
New flavors. Yeah. Yeah. Give me new flavors and I'll, I mean, I don't buy Frosted Flakes normally, but if you got new flavors, I'll buy some Frosted Flakes.
Yeah. You know what? They get soggy too fast, right? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. But I like them like halfway to
yeah,
soggy.
Yeah, you just gotta eat fast.
Yeah.
That's all.
But like,
thing.
I don't like them when they're still crunchy.
Yeah. Just don't dilly dally. Just get, you know.
Just, you know what? If anything, Frosted Flakes sets you up for the day. Because it makes you focus on the task at hand.
Exactly. And wouldn't that be great for dinner, Tim? all these places are, all these fast food restaurants are dealing with the cost of things going up, driving their costs up, and trying. And that's why I think with Wendy's, people were envisioning, I'm going to get into like a late night drive through line desperate. And they're going to be like, well, guess what? Hamburgers are $20 now.
Right.
And it's like, I think it was probably even a little more insidious of like, no, we're going to like gaslight you with the prices constantly changing. So you come, you know, today and then you come back next week, everything's going to be a little bit different. And I think that, you know, ultimately, Wendy saw like, yeah, we'll make a little more. We'll raise our average. Yeah, I'm sure they track like average visit sale dollar amount. We'll raise that a little bit.
Yeah, we can get people to spend like above the rate of inflation on more.
Yeah,
like,
and they won't notice and it'll be fine.
And we'll blame the government if people find out and get
pissed.
They're raising prices. That's the president's fault.
Yeah. Why are they being so strict about what beef is healthy to eat or not?
Actually, that is probably part. Like, dynamic pricing just means pricing that can change, that they can change, right? Like,
the market price.
If the price of beef varies from week to week, right, they can basically say, like if we get gouged on beef one week and, like, you know, the profit margin dips below what we need on every hamburger, like, instead of, like, calling every franchisee and being like, get some kid with a stick to slide the number out and put a new number in. They're just like, we can just like hit a button and all the screens change.
Yeah.
It's like that's all. And like that's bad for way different reasons, but like
but
it's,
I mean,
about efficiency
it's
and
not,
AI and machine learning.
It's not that different from what we know about the McRib. When the McRib returns, it is when pork prices have reached their lowest, which is typically in October for some reason, I think. But essentially,
nice. So there's just an overabundance of pigs around Halloween. Why is that?
Yeah, I don't know. Sounds like a mystery, though. But for that reason, that's why the McRib's never been on the menu year round, because it is only economically feasible during like 1 month of the year.
Right.
Otherwise, the McRib would be, I don't know, like $12 or whatever.
Didn't they retire it for good and then they brought it back again?
Tim, you can't trust
these
guys.
What is this? A,
they got a clown running the whole,
Kiss,
the whole thing.
Reunion tour or something?
Yeah.
Farewell
they
tour.
Always come back.
Yeah, never mind. Cut that part out.
Tim, if I
Gene Simmons is a close personal friend, Tom.
if he hears the wrong thing. Tim, if I start cutting parts out, we're going to be in trouble because I don't even want to touch that that infernal machine now. This is what AI's done. I should have blamed AI.
Tom, you have a minute and a half to get through all the rest of the news.
Oh, and then they've got Fresh AI, which is just...
Fresh AI?
Yeah. We've created Wendy's Fresh AI to overcome the challenges traditional AI could not solve in the drive-thru. So this is basically Just like text to speech and like large language models, like
ChatGPT. They're doing stuff better than
OpenAI, Google, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft. Yeah, all these companies. Basically,
Wendy's has cracked it.
Although they haven't, because without human intervention, their AI is only accurate 86% of the time. Now, this is order-taking AI.
Right.
That if you roll up and you go, give me a... The AI can take out all those as. And not, you know...
But that ooze.
And they can take out ooze to make sure you're not trying to order one of those things. And they'll just hear, you know, like a classic big... What do they call them? Big classics? Something like that? Wendy's burgers?
Baconators.
A Baconator. They can just hear Baconator and put that on the menu.
Like we did some research.
Do some research, Tim.
Well, you don't know what they call their hamburger.
This episode already. I think it's called a classic single, a classic double. I think the big classic they
got. Your problem is that it's not completely autonomous, right? Like,
It just strikes me as
a loaded nacho double cheeseburger. What the hell is going on at Wendy's? We got to talk about this after the break, but sorry, go on.
I
you know what they call them now?
What?
A Dave's single.
Yeah.
And a Dave's double. That wasn't always the case.
Well, that's why I didn't know, Tim. And how could I have found out?
All right. The AI thing.
Uh-huh.
So your thing is like, well, they still need somebody
there.
They
need somebody to like watch and listen to the whole thing and go, oh, no, the robot tried to give them, you know, 10,000 hamburgers for free.
Right.
I'll fix that.
I mean, to me, that's better than being like, hey, we'll cut all of our staff. Like, you have somebody there for quality control.
Oh,
right?
But they have that for now. And I'm sure they're training the model based on how this person intervenes.
Yeah, sure. And that's the shit that everybody's doing, right? Like when you do self-checkout, there's one poor guy sitting there that has to like watch and spy on you. And like, instead of just like having people like, and like the customers screw up all the time. Like they're losing money because like people scan things wrong or like, and all it does is like those people that need to intervene are just more overworked and their jobs suck more than just if they were just doing the regular job.
Yeah, I mean it is like one person's able to do more technically. I'm sure that they, you know, game it. They run the numbers and it's like, okay, well, one person overlooking four self-checkouts, we're still paying less money.
Yeah, paying less money, but that doesn't mean that like it's a
better experience.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they don't care about that. You think Wendy's cares how the experience is?
I don't know. Dave always said they do.
Well, Dave's been dead for a long time, Tim.
What?
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, Tim. We
got the headlines out of the way.
We got the headlines out of the way, which the first time we did this episode, that took like an hour to get through just talking about. They have some AI to price gouge and try and get rid of their employees.
I got really upset about day parting. You remember that? When I was like, just means it'll show breakfast sandwiches in the morning.
Yeah. Because that was the other thing. It was
now
like,
we're doing it again.
That they'll be able to recommend things based on weather, you know, chili or hot chocolate when it's cold and a frosty when it's hot. It's like, but you already do that with the seasons.
Yeah.
I'm sure maybe that'll help you a little bit. You know, people might not realize like, oh, Wendy sells coffee and it's cold. Okay, I'll get a coffee too. Look, all these things help, I'm sure, but they don't dramatically move the needle. I'll tell you what does, Tim. Hamburgers.
Hamburgers and... Wait, can we start, Tom, from a personal aspect? Sure, I haven't eaten meat in a while.
Okay.
But I used to... Where did Wendy's fall on your hierarchy?
Now, my overall hierarchy or my I'm in the mood for a hamburger hierarchy?
I'm going to get fast food. And this, you know what? There's a different answer for me almost year by year of my life.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like...
Has it ever been number one for you?
Maybe. Maybe when we were, like, in high school.
Yep.
Because there was, like, a fast food alley that had a McDonald's. It started with a Burger King. So there was a Burger King on the left, and then a Wendy's.
Far too much detail, Tom. There were a bunch of... Every single community in America has a bunch of fast food places.
Yeah, there was, but out of everything, there were the choices of a Burger King, Wendy's, Taco Bell, McDonald's, KFC. I think that those were at least the heavy hitters. I think there was like
a Subway in there.
And a Subway, but like those were kind of out
of the running.
If you want
to drive the other direction, there was briefly an A&W on the other side of town.
Yeah, and that always won. Yeah. That was the best place to go to because they had the frosted mugs and you could pour your own root beer. And they had very good burgers to begin, you know.
And when we were in high school, it was just like a beautiful women.
They had like very cute teenage girls when we were teenagers, by the way. And then, you would go to, some of the other places. And it was just like, we just have whoever working here. And they
just people who need money to feed their families.
Yeah, and they hate it.
They don't care about the thoughts of a horny 16-year-old boy.
And they hate it. Whereas... For some reason, I don't know if it was like a Stepford Wives situation or something, but the A&W, everybody seemed like they were having a great time.
Yeah, I think
time.
Nobody wanted to dig too hard, too deep, because it's like, well, something's going on here.
Right. Don't ask too many questions. Enjoy the frosted mug refills and then get the hell out of here. Never come back. But anyway, within that situation, I would say there were definitely times when Wendy's was number one because Wendy's was the first chain that had a 99-cent menu.
Yes.
And that when we were teenagers, that was huge. We were not going into these places and being like, oh, I'll have a number one. I'll have a number two. No, it was I have how much. If I buy $3 menus, what's the tax on that? That's the situations we were in.
Yeah. I will say, though, Tom, what was your go-to? And this, I think, Wendy's, the Wendy's partisan was always a friend of the show, AJ. I feel like I sat in that Wendy's and ate with AJ on the way to Looney Tunes, the record store, like hundreds of times.
Yeah, and AJ was the first one with a car.
Yeah.
So it was kind of up to him where we were going.
It's Wendy's or the highway is what he'd always say.
But Wendy's was on the highway, which was confusing. I was like, can we just, oh, so we can just go further down the highway and maybe go to Taco Bell?
And then he would drive us and we'd get in and I'd be like, thanks for the ride. And you go, ask Grass or Wendy's hamburgers. No one rides for free. So we had to buy him a Wendy's hamburger.
Right, we had to buy him a Wendy's hamburger. My go-to at Wendy's was a junior bacon cheese. Those were just always, for a dollar, you got a bacon cheeseburger?
Yeah, those were good.
And it said junior, but it was still a decent size.
You were a junior at the time. You still are a junior.
Yeah. And I remember them having like very crisp lettuce.
Yeah.
For some, they were like one of the few.
They were one of the few places that actually put like lettuce on dollar menu items. There was like a vegetable on the dollar menu. There was something fresh on the dollar menu, which was like...
And it was better quality. It was like crispy lettuce, so it actually did add something to the
sandwich. Dave Thomas, he cared about quality. He cared about the experience, Tom.
I'm not a huge like bacon person on a cheeseburger.
Especially fast food bacon. Never done well.
But I like...
Although, Baconator, Wendy's Baconator partisans might disagree.
Well, we'll get to that.
Will we?
But I like that the bacon was, that the lettuce was between the burger and the bacon. I don't know. Something about that I liked. It helped separate the taste for me.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. Because that's what I feel like a lot of times on bacon cheeseburgers, it's like it's not adding that much.
Right.
Because you've got the cheeseburger already. Now you're just making it like a little saltier with the bacon, but this, it separated the taste in a nice way. And they put mayonnaise.
I think they made it wrong.
they put mayonnaise on the sandwiches too, which I also appreciated and liked.
Tom, I had higher class tastes.
Oh, okay.
Spicy chicken sandwich.
Oh, okay, yeah. Also a very popular option. Oh, I actually have a... Oh, boy, you're going to get mad at me for this one. But I was also a big fan of the chicken salad frescata sandwiches that
they
had.
What the hell is that?
You don't remember their frescata line?
Frescata. That is the most...
It's
fast
Italian.
Food. That is the most fast food, like, hey, look, this is healthy, right?
Well, so the frescata line apparently came out of competition with Subway at the time. Subway and I forget who else, but like sandwich chains.
Right.
That people.
Well, Subway at some point was just, man.
Yeah, I guess it was like Subway and Quiznos they were literally and figuratively eating their lunch.
Right. Well, other people were eating their lunch elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, Subway, what Subway had going for it at the time was a pedophile telling everyone that their sandwiches were healthier
than hamburgers. He was now a skinny guy with real big pants.
Right. We didn't know he was a pedophile yet.
Yeah.
But I just remember...
That would have made me less likely to eat at Subway.
I think so, too. And I think that might have been why they hid that from people. That if people
I think
knew,
he might not have even mentioned it to them.
That people knew their mascot was a pedophile.
Yeah.
It might have thrown some people off.
I would have said, like, that makes me less likely to enjoy an Italian BMT from Subway.
I also love how in the, like, I mean, how many years has it been? 10 at least? Since Jared Fogle was...
No, less than that. Probably.
Really?
Yeah, probably like 2015, 2016.
I thought you were going to say 20 years. Like, Tim, I got news for you. I love that Subway has like never recovered from that, but they are still like, we can't figure out what it is that our customers want different. So like they've tried, now they like slice meat in the restaurant. They're like, oh, people were grossed out by the meat. It's like, it's not the meat. It was that you tied your brand to a pedophile. For more than a decade, right? He was the face of the company, probably almost two decades.
Yeah, he started, I don't know, at some point.
he was their face. He was their only real mascot.
Right.
You know, they never had a Ronald McDonald or a Burger King.
What? He rang in the new millennium for Subway.
Yeah.
The first ad... Mm-hmm. That he appeared in aired on January 1st, the year 2000.
Wow. Yeah, because that was their whole thing. Eat fresh. Our stuff is fresh. It's healthy. It won't turn you into a pedophile, which in fairness to them is
I don't think
true,
it turned him into
it. It sounds like he was all along. And they turned a blind eye to that.
July of 2015 is when the FBI raided him and
so 15
arrested him.
Years.
Tom, they were on the... He was on the radar of state and federal law enforcement agencies since 2007.
Wow. Yeah.
And they were like, eh, just keep being on TV and like going and giving talks at elementary schools about how like eating this vile fast food sandwich will make you healthy.
Yeah. I mean, and like, you know, to defend the FBI, as I always do on this show, you know, he was on their radar, but they didn't have enough to go after him yet.
Right.
But certainly the Subway restaurant got a heads up at some point.
Yeah.
And could have been like, you know what, at least let's not put all our eggs in the Jared basket.
Right. And also, remember that, like, the FBI's a little out of their element investigating Jared because they are primarily female body inspectors.
Tim, I've seen you get men's business cards where it says that, and you always buy it hook, line, and sinker. Oh, all right. Well, come on in.
Oh, yeah, my wife's right over here.
The FBI's here.
They'd like to talk to you.
So anyway, Subway was huge.
Right.
And
this is Frescata's. We've got to get back to Frescata's.
Right.
We got to follow this line back.
Please. And it was hurting all the burger chains. So this was Subway's or Wendy's idea that they would start selling sandwiches with they had really good ciabatta rolls. So that was their thing. They weren't like, all right, we're going to sell hoagies. You know, we're going to sell Subway sandwiches. They were like, nah, we're gonna put our own Wendy's spin on it. So they had turkey and Swiss, ham and Swiss, probably other things in Swiss.
People are under the assumption that, like, Swiss cheese is, like, the healthiest thing. Yeah, it's Swiss cheese. It's
Switzerland.
It has holes in it, so, like, it's, like, you're eating less of it.
Exactly. They were discontinued in mid-December 2007. Now, do you think if the FBI had tipped off Wendy's, hey, actually, we're looking into Jared, that they would have kept on seeing, well, there might be a chance for us to take this?
I think the other way. I think the FBI did tip them off, they were like, this only appeals to pedophiles. We don't want to do it. We're a good family company.
Right. This is going to hurt the brand of sandwiches overall.
Yeah, and we're going to have pedophiles in here attracted by these Swiss cheese sandwiches that we're putting together. What was the one that you liked?
They had a chicken salad one that I think I liked. I think I also got the turkey and Swiss, or maybe they had a roast beef one.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember getting them and liking them, mostly just liking the bread a lot.
See, I don't like when a menu expands beyond, like,
I mean, yeah, Wendy's, that's a huge, that's, they added, I don't know, like five different sandwiches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like cold cut, like, stop it, Wendy's.
Yeah, but how much harder is that?
Not how much harder, like, there's a place for that. The one with the creep,
Subway.
The big.
But yeah, as I alluded to earlier, Tim, in 1985, they were the first fast food chain to create a single price point value menu, where all items on that menu were priced exclusively at 99 cents.
Do you love it when Wikipedia, don't you love it when Wikipedia, like, you could tell someone's being a jokester in the way that they present the facts? This might be one of my favorite lines from on Wikipedia, from Jared Fogel's Wikipedia. In November 2021, Fogel spoke out from prison for the first time, writing in a letter to the New York Post that he, quote, royally screwed up. Jared's like, I got egg on my face for this one.
You know,
guys, this boneheaded stunt.
This one's
I got
me.
Really,
I
yeah, I got
really
nothing to say.
Screwed up by doing this for years and years and years. In the 1970s, Tim, Wendy's was also one of the first fast food chains to introduce a salad bar known as the Super Bar, although it was eventually phased out in the late 90s. Do you remember the Wendy's salad bar?
I vaguely remember the Wendy's salad bar. I never visited the Wendy's salad bar. I don't think I stepped foot in a Wendy's until after they had been discontinued.
I remember that they had a Fixin's Bar.
Fixin's.
I remember the Fixin's Bar, which was...
Which is cool. I would love that in a place now.
Yeah, well, and that was mostly around one of their unique items, which was they sold baked potatoes at Wendy's. They kind of tried to put the idea out there of like, we're the healthier burger place.
Right.
Where if you don't want French fries, you can get a side salad or you can get a baked potato instead. And I think
the baked potato is like infinitely healthier than French fries.
Yeah. And I remember Wendy's being fairly popular with my family with the one night a week that we got. Usually we would get like pizza or like Chinese food, mm-hmm. but sometimes we would get fast food. And I remember,
my in-laws call Chinese food. You know what my in-laws call Chinese food?
What?
They call Chinese food.
Chinese food. Okay, I thought
Chinese food.
Something I was going to have to bleep
right
later.
It's like, oh, you guys want to go get some Chinese food?
Some Chinese food. Okay, hey, whatever works.
I think it's a regional thing.
Yeah.
Because everybody in their, heard in their region also
right.
says it that way.
And for I'm people that don't know, food. Tim's in-laws are in China.
Yeah.
And it's a regional thing.
Now there they you know what they call it there, Tom?
What?
Food.
Wow. Yeah, you want to just go get some food? Now I feel like I frequently, like when me and Laura are trying to figure out like if we're getting takeout, I'll say like, oh, I'm in the mood for American food.
Really?
Yeah. Usually that just
what
means
does that imply?
Like a burger place, okay. You know, a place that sells burger. Like burgers. Well,
you get out and wave the flag and say these colors don't run. Yeah. That's what I want.
Well, I think it's because we have like our go-to places.
Mm-hmm.
And then within, if I say I'm in the mood for American, she knows that means like one of three places,
right.
Pretty much.
Okay. It's a shorthand.
It's a shorthand.
It's a lover's shorthand.
It's a lover's shorthand. That's what we refer to it as. But I remember my mom, when I was a kid, would frequently get the baked potato, but even more frequently would get the taco salad. Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember that.
Because
it.
So one of the other...
Back when I was like, tacos.
Well, what is it? I thought this was an American restaurant. So one of the other unique menu items at Wendy's is chili.
Mm-hmm.
They would sell just a bowl of chili for 99 cents, too.
Well, what people would people have confirmed, Tom, mm-hmm. listeners of The Complete Guide have confirmed to us who worked at Wendy's.
Yes.
It's how the they hamburgers. Made it. Mm-hmm. You know, unsold hamburgers go into the chili.
Yesterday's hamburgers are tomorrow's chili.
Right.
Today, we're all out.
today we're closed for a staff meeting.
I saw this with something else recently. I want to say some fast food chain, maybe it was Panera or something. And like somebody that was like,
another thing, regionally, Panera Bread.
Panera Bread.
Not yeah. Panera Bread. They
Panera
go,
Bread.
Yeah, they go, you want to go to Panera Bread?
Oh, okay. Now did they say...
Do you want Panera Bread or Chinese food?
Now did they say Speed Demon or Speed Demon? You'll have to ask them.
I will.
You'll have to ask them what their like fifth favorite song off of Bad is. What's your favorite song off of Bad that has a claymated music video?
Claymated.
Go on. Yeah. I saw a thing recently where somebody, you know, an insider at a restaurant was like, oh, well, actually, if you get the chicken sandwich there, that's the like or the chicken salad, that's the chicken we didn't sell. We take the breading off and cut it up and put it on the salad and things like that. I'm always like, OK,
cool.
That's good. You're not wasting food like and all the, you know, people always have a like. Oh, all these places are disgusting and blah, blah, blah. But think about this, Tim. Former President Donald Trump loves to eat at fast food places because they're clean.
Right.
And he's
one of the smartest guys we got.
One of the smartest, cleanest, healthiest men out there.
Yeah.
But I do think there is this idea of like, oh, they have like gross old meat and stuff. No, if anything, it's the other way of it. These places do not want any kind of food outbreak.
Yeah, because that, like, if it happens in one place,
it
they
hurts
have,
the stock.
And they have 1,000 to 15,000 other places that can be thousands of miles away that are affected by something like that. That happened,
yeah.
Right? Like, it's like one little incident. Like,
so they are all, you know, of course, you can't account for individual employees doing something gross.
And they all do gross things. It's because no one wants to work.
But for the most part, a lot of these places have like surprisingly stringent, like, hey, if that hasn't sold in an hour, it's garbage.
Right.
You know, throw it out, get rid of it. So I don't have a problem with them turning the hamburgers into chili. I think that's fine.
I mean, I would gag if I had a freaking ounce of that chili, though.
No, their chili, I remember it always being pretty good.
Yeah, but you like gross things.
I do like gross things.
You had those cinnamon toast frosted flakes for dinner every night this week.
I wish. But their taco salad was basically just a salad with tortilla chips and then a bowl of chili. And then you could just pour the chili on it. They always marketed the chili as, I think, low fat or low calorie. That was kind of their, like, you know, it was on their, like, healthy options menu. Tim, you brought up earlier the Baconator. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Baconator.
Yeah, the Baconator is when, like, was in the era where, like, I wasn't really going to Wendy's. Like, I've never tried the Baconator. It was probably, like, what, early 2000s that they started it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that's in, like, the scumbag. Like, that launched during, like, Tucker Max, Girls Gone Wild era of American culture, where it's like, we suck. We're the worst.
Yeah. Some people may say that.
You're
was
with
the
us
peak.
Or you're against us. Freedom eat a, fries.
Eat a Baconator, or we'll send you to Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah. Introduced in April 2007.
Okay. Man, a lot going on in 2007.
That's the Frescata meals. Yeah. They were like out with this faux healthy stuff.
Yeah.
Get the
real men in here. Get rid of these Frescata sandwiches. We want to become a men's restaurant. The crazy thing about the Baconator is it doesn't even really have that much more. The single Baconator
has
three pieces of bacon as opposed to, I believe, two.
Right.
But,
yeah, like if you go to any gastropub, there's more bacon on a regular bacon cheeseburger.
Yes. And it, like Wendy's bacon, I always thought was, I guess it's the same of any fast food bacon. It's not good. It's always like.
The worst fast food bacon, McDonald's.
Probably.
Except they did a circular bacon on the Arch Deluxe. Remember that?
I do remember that.
That was good. If they brought the Arch Deluxe back, I'd start eating meat again.
you just want a hamburger for adults.
Yeah, I just want it with the grown-up taste.
Yeah. But where the Baconator starts getting crazy is when you get into something like the Triple Baconator.
Right.
Which is 3 quarter-pound patties with 9 strips of bacon, 4 slices of cheese, ketchup, and mayo.
Right.
That's too much. That's 1,360 calories, which I'm actually surprised is not more.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a lie. Like, if you took an actual one cooked on, like, the greasiness of the actual grills that they use there. Like, you know, they calculate this stuff where they, like, wipe everything down. Like, we're going to use like
precise
measurements. You know, all bets are off. I'm going to guess. This is speculation. Hey, Dave Thomas's lawyers, don't come after me. It's got to be 20% at least higher than the state.
I don't know. I don't know how they test this stuff. I don't know. I mean, I've definitely seen calorie stuff listed in other places that I don't think was like them gaming it. Or horrifying if it was.
Yeah.
You know, I went to a Cheesecake Factory recently, And there were items on that menu that, like, I got a club sandwich because because everything else was just like, oh, that just feels irresponsible for me to order. And in fairness, the club sandwich also had a ton of calories and was also probably the best club sandwich I'd ever had.
Yeah.
Because I think the whole thing was just cooked in butter or whatever. Right. But
club sandwich cooked in butter.
Yeah, it was delicious. But yeah, that's the Baconator. I think I've had a bacon, you know, I think I, of course, fell for the marketing and had to try it. But I remember thinking like, oh, there's just. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You just put more bacon on a regular burger. I'm not super into it. It's still shitty, thin, gross bacon. So
yeah.
If you're a real bacon head, go get better bacon somewhere else.
Yeah. I never really was into the regular hamburgers at Wendy's, but that was just because I was so enamored with the spicy chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Until I read an early internet meme that I don't want to talk about.
Well, yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
Ugh.
I know what it is. Yeah. Ugh. And if anybody's, you know, eating, I don't want to bring it up.
Yeah.
Google it. Gross thing.
DM Tom for more details.
Don't DM me. I want to recount this story. It was an urban legend. Who knows if it was even true? Few other prominent items on the menu here. Special attention, I think, should be brought to the now discontinued 4 for $4.
What is that?
This was a phenomenal thing they were doing. 4 for $4. For $4, Tim.
Stop saying four, please.
You got a hamburger, a four-piece nuggets, chicken nuggets, a small fries, and a small drink.
Wow.
That's a good meal right there.
What year?
They had this up until fairly recently.
Wow!
I remember getting this at the Union Square Wendy's.
You've been living in New York for 20 years.
What does that have to do with it?
It could have been 20 years ago.
No, I remember when I was going to the Union Square when I worked over there.
Okay.
So it was, you know, within the last 5 years, I've gotten one of these, and I just remember thinking, this is great. A like fairly small hamburger, 4 nuggets, a small fries, and a small soda. This is enough for a lunch.
Yeah.
Like I'm not leaving here hungry, but I'm not leaving here feeling like a total piece of shit. Mm-hmm.
Look, it's not gonna. It's enough food
mm-hmm.
that I'm satiated. I'm not overfull, but it still gave me a good amount of diarrhea.
Right, and for only $4, you're gonna be hard pressed to beat that.
Yeah.
How do you feel about their natural cut fries? Because that's another somewhat. I'm gonna say recent change. They probably changed it 20 years ago, but.
People get all up in arms whenever a fast food place changes their fries. Mm-hmm. They're all good. And I think the difference between, like, the worst version of, like, people got really pissed when Burger King changed their fries that mm-hmm. one. But a lot of people got pissed about the Wendy's thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like there's such little variance in my enjoyment of fries. Like, I like them all.
Yeah. I remember the old Wendy's fries, and I like them more.
Yeah, maybe. That might be the case. But also, I think this is the psychological trick that mm-hmm. they're trying, and even though I know it's not right, I feel it. The natural cut fries, they're healthier.
Yeah, it's natural.
Yeah.
And everything natural.
And you can see they're not peeling, they're not processing it, mm-hmm. they're not over-processing these things by peeling them.
Guess what else, Tim?
What?
They're natural cut fries with sea salt.
Oh, sea salt.
Yeah.
That's
salt from the sea.
Oh, my God.
That's where fish come from, and fish are healthier than anyone.
Of course. They're the healthiest. Oh, yeah.
So, all right. So we're fans of their incredibly healthy French fries.
Yeah, just because we're very health conscious.
I did like, do you remember when Burger King had those just like super crispy fries?
Yeah. People hated those.
I know people hated those, and I think those people were wrong. Those fries were great.
Freaking morons.
Yeah. I like when a place changes their fries.
Change your fries.
Look, McDonald's.
Just don't start. Yeah, I'd rather you iterate your fries every 6 months than be like, hey, we're like healthy. We have cold cut sandwiches now. Oh, guess what? Like, we have this whole fish sandwich now. If you're not the fillet of fish, great. Whatever. I don't know. Angry all the time. Just put barbecue sauce. If you want to make new things, put barbecue sauce on your hamburger.
Or make them spicy.
Yeah.
The fry situation, I think it was for so long, every fast food chain was just kind of like a pale comparison or like a cheap knockoff of McDonald's French fries. Mm-hmm. So there was kind of a movement in the 90s and aughts of like, let's change things up. And I think nobody could really accept, look, nobody's coming here for the fries. People are coming here for the other stuff. And if you offer a side of fries, they'll take it.
And make them good.
And make, yeah, just but make the only, decent
in
fries.
In my opinion, the only way that you can screw up fries if you give it, hey, we're now, it's only shoestring fries.
Yeah.
Get out of here, shoestring fries. You they should be good because it's all crisp.
Right.
But like.
No. They're good on a burger.
They're good on a burger. I agree.
Yeah, but they're not always good on their own.
They're never good on their own. Just say it. Take a stand, Reynolds.
No,
for the first time in your life.
I've had some good shoestring fries. They have to be real fresh, too.
Oh, shut up.
They can't be sitting around.
You've got to be a contrarian.
I'm not trying to be a contrarian. I'm just saying I've had good shoestring fries, and I don't think that many places try and push them on people, so... So I really don't have that strong of an opinion on them.
We're out of time, and we didn't even talk about the Where's the Beef Lady. Should we do the Where's the Beef Lady next week?
Yeah, should we do a part two? Because guess what else we ain't talking about? Frosties.
Okay, yeah, and we have to get into Dave Thomas's life.
Yeah,
also.
And we didn't get into Dave Thomas or Wendy herself.
Oh, and the sexy Wendy that they launched.
Yeah, and the sexy Wendy that they launched.
Okay.
All right, it's settled. We're going to do a part two. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com. You can find all our social media links there, our links to our subreddit, our Discord. Everything's popping off in those places. And you can follow me on social media at Tom Reynolds.
You follow me at your pal Tim. Did you think you were me for a second?
Yeah, you're Tom.
You were
Reynolds.
Looking at me and you're like, let's be this guy. This must be a mirror.
And also check out our Patreon, patreon.com/complete guide. This week you can hear about the ill-fated original episode of this very episode, along with Way of the Wolf, the Jordan Belfort book me and Tim are reading to become salesmen.
Right.
Better salesmen.
Somebody about this week's episode of Books and Podcasts, mm-hmm. perfect time to jump on.
Yeah.
Somebody in the Discord,
mm-hmm.
Daniel, said... this one was an all-timer.
Oh, wow.
And what is this? You Cantalas? Do you know that guy's
you
name?
You Cantalas? Oh, yeah. Somebody on the Discord. Yeah.
What? You can't, alas.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I really enjoyed how off the rails this week's books episode got.
There you go.
But this guy Daniel also said, LOL at some of the clear edit points because they went too far off the rails. Daniel, I got news for you. Tom sent me those raw files. Yeah. I didn't even listen to them. I just uploaded them. Yeah, I didn't cut anything out.
I was going to say, I could send you timestamps to prove that it would not have been possible for Tim to have edited that before it went out.
All there, baby.
Yeah.
Let it all hang out.
Patreon.com/complete guide is where you can find that. All right. Fuck, now I'm kind of in the mood for Wendy's.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
See, last time I kind of was, and then you hit me with that, like, the episode got lost,
yeah,
and then I was
you,
just in a bad mood.
Sick. You thought you were going to
puke. Oh, no.
I poured my guts into my art, and now you're saying it's gone?
Was that the first time? We recounted this in the Patreon episode, mm-hmm. that, like, there have been times where, like, a segment's got... Was that the first time we ever did a whole episode and trashed it?
I think so. Every other time we've had any kind of technical issues, it's either been early in the episode or we've caught it and fixed it, but we've never done, I think, maybe one other time, but it was a different issue where then like when we went back and listened to the audio was like, you know, it was older tech,
yeah.
and just the audio was like crackly and fucked. But no, I think this was a first time. A whole new problem for us.
Wow. Hey, I've been doing this for 15 years, still having new problems.
That's how you know you're doing it right.
That's how you keep the spark in a relationship.
I mean, and I'm not 100% sure this recorded right.
Me neither. And if it doesn't go up, I don't know, not many people will notice.
I think if this one doesn't go up, then that's it. We're done.
Oh, I'll never come back here again.
Yeah, we won't talk. We'll stop being friends. Yeah. We'll get new friend groups and all that. Huh. There was something else I was going to say
about
along
Wendy's.
Those lines.
Not being friends anymore.
Wendy's.
I was going to say, I just don't want to be friends with you anymore.
You made me think of something. Oh, right. It was that I don't want to be friends anymore. No, it was that the original version of this episode, all my recording came out fine.
Right.
So maybe one day fresh AI will be good enough that it'll be able to reconstitute what it was that you said based on the context. We'll train it on all the episodes and it'll be able to figure it out and recreate it.
I can't tell if this will be hurtful and a bad thing, but what if we, you know, when like bands release like the stems so people can make remixes, what if we just release to, you know, on the Discord, your track and people can be Tim for a day.
Wow. I don't think we should put that in the Discord. We should charge a huge premium for it.
But then I'm afraid, like, you'll be like, oh, Where's the Beef lady said this. And then, like, somebody will be like, and I'm Tim, and I'm an idiot, and I'm real stupid.
Oh, yeah, and there will be no way for people to know that that's not real.
Yeah.
That you didn't say that.
Exactly.
Because they'll be like, well, I heard Tom on the other end. This voice kind of didn't sound like Tim. It kind of just sounded like a guy doing a funny high-pitched voice. But I don't know. But then there's Tom. So it must be him, and he must be real stupid. I love that that's the worst thing you're afraid of.
I don't have a lot of rational fears, Tom.
Tim, if that's the worst thing you're afraid of, I have bad news about the 700 other episodes and how you've come out sounding in them.
We'll talk about it off the air. Stay tuned for Wendy's Part 2 next week. I'm going to start teasing the next episode.
Yeah, I know.
We'll probably wind up doing something else.
We'll forget. Yeah. We've already done two episodes about Wendy's.
That's true. I'm kind of sick of talking about it.
All right. Hey, stay tuned next week for a mystery topic.
Yeah. Maybe we'll be back. Maybe we'll just stop doing the show altogether.
Yeah. Or, if this didn't, if right now you've been listening.
If you're not hearing this, you'll never hear anything.
If for the last hour you've just been listening to a one-sided conversation, guess what? That was the last episode. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.